You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. We look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview and through the eyes of dad on this program. And Dave Buhner, also a dad. We happen to care about our children. We care about the world in which we're raising them. And, hey, there's bad news in California. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's the Republican governor out there. Did I say he's Republican? He's Republican. He signed a bill that would protect homosexuality, at the same time increase the probability of persecuting Christians in that particular state, at least those Christians that still want to call homosexuality a sin. Governor Arne signed the bill last week, and some say it could affect the ability of faith-based colleges to enforce sexual misconduct policies. Here's how it works. If the college or the school or even the homeschool association receives any kind of government funding in the state of California, they must accept students who are engaged in things like transsexuality, bisexuality, and homosexuality. No discrimination, my friends. No discrimination against these sorts of things, even though the Bible does have some somewhat negative things to say about these sorts of practices. Well, folks, the public schools are changing shape, and Dave, I can't understand why people send their children to schools that are funded by the state. I just can't. Doesn't make any sense to me. Whether it be a private college or anything else, why would they send their children to a college that is funded by the state?
Well, people have to understand what the state funds, the state controls. You've got to understand what the state morality and the state ethic is. And it probably isn't your morality, and it isn't your ethic. It certainly isn't a biblical morality. So if you're sending it there, you're sending your children to be indoctrinated by something foreign to a biblical worldview.
Do parents really want to see schools endorse transsexuality, bisexuality, and homosexuality? Do parents really, 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 really want to see their children indoctrinated in transsexuality, bisexuality, and homosexuality? That's my question. Do they really like transsexuality? Do parents really endorse this sort of thing? If they do, then I guess they ought to send their children to these schools.
Well, and let's follow the logic to its natural conclusion. If you can't be opposed to sexual orientation, that means you can't be opposed really to pedophilia, to rape, to bestophilia, and to any of the other more severe perversions. They're all perversions, but why would you draw the line at one and not the other? Come on, if you don't have a system for morality and a system for ethics, anything's going to go.
I'm not sure that SB 1441 in California was decrying rape or bestiality or anything else. It could be very well be true that you cannot discriminate against bestials in public schools in California. So, ladies and gentlemen, this kind of perversion is just spreading across the nation. And parents everywhere are endorsing it because something like 90-95% of parents send their children to schools like this. And again, I'm asking the question, if you're a Christian, why would you do this? Do you really love transsexuality? Do you want to indoctrinate your children in transsexuality? Parents, is this something you like? If it is, then I guess go ahead and send your children to these sorts of things. But please, if you do not like homosexuality, you agree with God on these issues, then I would highly, highly recommend that you stay completely away from public funding of this sort of education. Again, folks, taking state funding for education of any kind is very, very, very dangerous because the state has endorsed a religion called humanism, and humanism explicitly denies God and his law, at least that revealed in the Bible, and they've replaced man with God. Public schools, public education, official government policy has endorsed the religion of humanism in America. The courts have done so. The state legislatures have done so. If any homeschool, private school tries to take government money, my friends, it is tainted money. It comes from a government that will force you to bow the knee to their humanist God. That's what's happening in California. It's going to happen everywhere else, my friends. The American government has rejected the God of the Bible and his law and has come up with a different law that embraces things like homosexuality and evolution, refuses to teach the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge in the science classroom and the history classroom. So the form of education taught by the government today is antithetically opposed to the form of education that God recommends in his word, that is the Bible in places like Proverbs and Genesis and elsewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, we want to talk about education, educating our children. And my son asked me the question the other day, Dad, when can I graduate from high school? I didn't ask Arnold Schwarzenegger about that. I just figured out an answer for myself. In just a moment, we want to talk about when a child can graduate from high school. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome back to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you, father of five. And so we are sitting around the dinner table one night. My son, just out of the blue, says, Dad, when can I graduate from high school? He's 15 years old, all right? And, you know, I've never heard that question before from him. I never really thought about it. We've been homeschooling since, well, day one. And they're learning lots of good stuff. But, you know what the state says? 36 Carnegie units, 4 math credits, 4 history credits, 3 literature credits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought about that for a moment, and then I just threw it away. I crinkled that up, the state requirements, and threw it in the wastebasket. And I thought, well, why and how should my son graduate from high school? Well, I thought about it for a moment. I turned to him and said, son, you can graduate from high school when you can get out of bed in the morning on your own. What do you think, Dave? When you can get up on your own, and here's the other thing I said, when you can go to a 40-hour week job, apply yourself 40 hours a week to some job, some effort in God's green earth, and makes about 25 grand a year, then you can graduate from high school. When you can go out and do life, all right? I'll let you graduate from high school when you can do life. Okay, not a lot of academics there. What would you say, Dave, if your son said, hey, Dad, when can I graduate from high school?
I'd say, what's high school?
Okay.
What's high school? What do you mean by high school, son? Are you asking when do you have to stop learning because that's the day you die?
Right, that's when you die. Right.
Or are you asking, Dad, when are you going to stop giving me assignments? And I'd say that's the day when you become a man and move out and run your own household and make your own assignments.
But there's a legitimacy to a rite of passage, Dave. There ought to be a rite of passage. Our young men are prepared for some level of life. And I think what we ought to say is if they are ready to live on their own, if they're ready to produce a family. Now, maybe he's not quite ready to get married. He doesn't have a woman, for example. You do need a woman to get married. Yes, but he's ready. There's a point at which I want to put my Kevin Swanson dad's certification stamp upon my son. Say, son, you're ready. I want to be able to say that. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with high school.
No, it has nothing to do with high school at all. It doesn't have anything to do with high school, but it has everything to do with life.
You know, there are certain rites of passage the son goes through anyway. There's the day you let him drive the car on his own. That's a very important rite of passage. Ask any 16-year-old, and they're all waiting for that day. There's a point at which, as a father, you recognize in your son a certain amount of character development. You say, son, now you are a man. And I'm all for the pageantry that goes with that rite of passage. I love the ideas of giving your son a sword or some symbol that show a ring, something that shows that he has the endorsement of his father, much like Jesus got from his father. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. I think that's important, but it doesn't mean that now he can be irresponsible.
That's right. That's right. Well, folks, my son is 15 years old. We homeschool. We do not send our children to schools that are paid for by public monies and require instruction in homosexuality or no discriminatory language towards homosexuality. We discriminate against homosexuality in our homeschool here on the eastern plains of Colorado because we take God's law. We also discriminate against lying and adultery and fornication. We discriminate against an awful lot of things in our homeschool, Dave.
We even discriminate against Brussels sprouts.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, that's terrible. All right. But here we are in our homeschool. My son's 15 years old, and I have to ask the question, when will my son be done with his general education? When will he have had a pretty good general education and be ready for life? That's my question. And he's not there yet. He's 15 years old. And now, here's what's important. A good education takes faith and character into consideration. In fact, faith and character are preeminent. So, a good education will involve the nurturing of strong character in my son. And that's a 724 effort in my home. It takes a lot of work. So, faith and character are preeminent. A biblical worldview is foundational, and it seeps through every aspect of the education of my children. The principle of individuality is respected. The principle of relationships is cultivated in the education of my children, and the principle of life integration is essential. We've talked about all these things on this program before, and you can get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Children, if you would like a refresher course on all of that. But that still brings us back to what is a good general education for my son. He's 15 years old, and I don't think he's got a perfect education. He doesn't have a good general education wrapped up yet, but will, I think, in the near future. Here's what has to happen. Number one, he needs to be a good reader and a good writer. All right? He needs to read and write. Why do I say that? Because God wants him to read and write. Deuteronomy 6, verses 8 and 9 is very clear on that. You write God's law on the posts of your house. And when he's old enough, he needs to be ready to do that, to write God's law on the post of his house. He doesn't know how to write, he's not going to be able to write God's law on the post of his house. He's got to be a good reader and writer. That's God's law, and he's not there yet. He's actually a very good reader, but he's not a very good writer yet. We're having him work on his writing. So, that's the first thing. Secondly, he's got to be ready to defend the faith. Why do I say that? Because 1 Peter 3:16 says, you've got to be ready to give an answer to every man who asks for a reason for the hope that is within you, and do it with meekness and with fear. So he's got to be a good defender of the faith, which involves rhetoric, speech, logical, critical thinking, these sorts of things. He's not quite ready for that. Now, every child is still different. Not every child is going to be at the same level in terms of their apologetics and their worldview acumen as other children, because they will be in different environments throughout their lives. I mean, some of my children will not be out in the university atmosphere or out in public media or public debates where they will be required to engage in debate with every man who happens to be on a university campus or who happens to be in a college classroom involving paleontology. So some of my children will have to be prepared in the area of rhetoric for a fairly high level of debate. Others of my children will not. They will be in different atmospheres. It just depends on where God is calling them. Some will be called perhaps into the university. Some will be called into the workplace. Some will be called into primarily the home. They will be working primarily out of the home, and they will have to be able to defend the faith to the average set of neighbors. You understand the difference here, Dave? You've got the average set of neighbors. You've got the average set of university professors who deal in the area of paleontology. That's a different group. So it just depends on where he's going in life, and that will drive the level of rhetoric, the level of logical thinking and worldview acumen that I will require of him before he leaves the home.
The 1 Peter 3 apologetic requirement requires three subphases, and that is reason. Be ready to give a reason, which means we're going to have some logic. We're going to have to be able to think. We're going to be able to have an epistemological system that we can defend. And to do it with meekness and with fear, and those are quality traits. That means doing it with love of the person.
We're back to character now.
Yes.
We're back to character,
and
right.
And fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, you don't even have the beginning of wisdom. A son must learn to fear God and demonstrate that in his life and in the way he lives his life before he is, well, anywhere close to beginning to get wisdom.
Okay, so let's review where my son needs to be before he graduates from high school or goes through this rite of passage. I haven't figured out what I'm calling it yet, but these are the sorts of things he needs to be trained in. He's got to be a good reader and writer. He still has a little bit of work to do in the area of writing. He needs to exercise his rhetoric skills and be able to defend his point from the perspective of a biblical worldview, and he needs to be able to undermine the fool in his folly, the man who tries to create some kind of an apologetic for pure materialistic naturalism or egalitarianism or all the other isms that are out there that he may run into in his life, he has to be ready to do this. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and I don't want my son wearing milk-bone underwear, metaphorically speaking, in the apologetic world. All right, the next point is I want my son to be ready to teach his own children. That's Deuteronomy 6:7, right? Or Psalm 78, or you also think Ephesians 6:4. My son needs to be prepared to do this. Now, Dave, I think, you know, a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy is not ready to do that. Now, one of the things that we are doing to make sure that our son is ready to teach, we have him do an exposition of a chapter of the Bible. Well, it's about every other week now. He types out two pages, typically single-spaced typed pages on a chapter of the Bible. Right now he's working through 2 Samuel. So he goes through the Bible. He does two things. The first thing he does is he writes out, what does this chapter teach us? So he explains the chapter to the family. And that's myself, my wife, and the four little girls in our home. So he explains it. And then the second question he asks is, how does this passage teach us to believe and obey God? So how do we practically apply this passage to this particular family? So we have him do that. And right now, Dave, he's not real good at this. As I said, his writing still has a ways to go, and his rhetoric has a ways to go, and his thinking does too. He's getting better, though, at application. And so I think he's getting closer to the point where he will be able to sit down at maybe 19, 20, 21 years of age and teach his family God's word. That's my goal. God requires it. I need to prepare him to do that. The final question that I'm asking is he ready for life? And again, folks, my son needs to be ready for life. My daughters need to be ready for life. And if your daughter had a very good education, by the time she's 26 years old, she knows the derivative of a cosine. She knows how Freudian psychology differs from Skinner's. She knows who Rome fought in the Punic Wars. She knows that Plato asserts ideal forms as an absolute and eternal reality of which the phenomena of the world is a transitory reflection. She knows how pinocetic vesicles function in an amoeba. She knows how to parse just about any Latin verb, and that's if she had a very good education. But I'll bet you she won't have a clue how to manage a staff of 7 in a home, how to handle a budget of $100,000 a year without running the household into the ground. She doesn't have a clue how to cook a meal, how to hire a contractor, how to raise children, how to change diapers, how to calm a baby, how to nurture a 2-year-old, how to exercise authority, how to create a budget, how to cut food costs by 40% without increasing time for shopping, how to train a 5-year-old in social skills. She doesn't know the best way to maintain vehicles. She doesn't know how to assess value in products and services. She doesn't know how to decorate a house. She doesn't know how to engage in hospitality with skill, wisdom, and grace. She doesn't know how to do 98% of life, but did I tell you that she knows how to parse just about any Latin verb? Ladies and gentlemen, my vision for my children, my vision for my son and my daughters is that they will know how to do life. And education has been very much separated from life, and I don't care if you're talking about public schools, classical schools, private schools, or even homeschools. For the most part, our children are incredibly irrelevant to life by the time they're 18 or 19 years of age. Unbelievably irrelevant to life. Why? Because education has been incredibly separated from life. So every day you need to ask yourself two questions. What have I given my child such that he is getting knowledge? And what am I doing such that he is learning how to plug knowledge into life? Give them knowledge and then give them an opportunity to plug knowledge into life. So the questions I have for my son is he ready for work? Is he ready for leadership? Is he learning how to lead a home? Is he ready for marriage? Is he ready to handle money? Is he ready to manage a household? These are the sorts of questions that I'm going to ask before I tell my son he's ready to graduate from high school.
And Kevin, the questions you'll ask your daughters, if you're like me, will be completely different than the ones you'll ask your son. I will ask my son whether or not he's ready to be the prophet, the priest, and the king of his home. That is he ready to bring the word of God as a prophet? Is he ready to intercede for his family, to sacrifice himself, much like a priest would? Is he ready to lead his family and to love his family? As he have those leadership skills, as a king would. If he's not ready to do those things, he's not ready to be the man of his own household, so he's not done with my training. With my daughters, however, I'm not asking her to be the prophet, the priest, and the king of her household. I'm asking her to have a meek and quiet spirit. I'm asking, can she love her children? Can she love her husband? Does she know how to manage the household? A woman's primary area of responsibility is the home. So the things that I'm teaching my son, and when I'm saying, son, I'm well pleased with your progress, is different than the criterion I have for my daughters.
Now, you may have noticed, folks, we have not talked much about geometry. We haven't talked about geography, or we haven't even brought up geology yet, have we, Dave?
I don't think we've done anything.
No, we haven't done the three G's. But we have talked about everything else in life, and it's because, folks, we are after creating young people who will be ready for life, who will actually have a vision for life, and will be extraordinarily relevant to the dominion task that God has brought to them. The final point that I need to make is that all of this done, this is a general education. What we've been speaking of is a general education, a general preparation for life. But I also believe there is a specific calling that God has upon each of our children. Why? Because God has given them a special set of gifts, talents, and abilities. My daughter Rebecca Joy is very good in art. My daughter Emily is an excellent writer. Even at 13 years old, I'm about ready to have her start editing my books and maybe writing a book for me. She does very well with writing. My son Daniel, he is excellent at selling. In fact, Dave, I think he's sold you a few times, sold you a few things in the past. My son loves to sell. He loves real estate. He loves law. These are the sorts of things he is preparing himself for. But my point is that you also need to be working hard with much prayer, trial and error, work, skills evaluation, testing, perhaps apprenticeships. You need to be identifying that calling that God has on his life and preparing him for that calling.
Yes, and you know, your boys, you want to make sure that they have a dominion task, a way that they can provide for their own, some area in which they're going to go out and glorify God in the world of business with their labors. And it's very significant that we help them get started in that. But that doesn't mean that a job that pays $250,000 is better than starting a business that only pays $30,000. We have to understand that providing for your family is a requirement, but treasures in heaven is a blessing.
The book, my friends, is Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. I wrote the book as a basic introduction to what it is that constitutes a quality education, an excellent education, education that is actually going to prepare your child for life and for eternity. The book, again, is Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. You can get the book by going to my website, kevinswanson.com, and just click on store. That's kevinswanson.com. Click on store. And to interact with the program, email me personally. I will get back to you personally. Email me at host@kevinswanson.com if you have a comment. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. And I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.